self-superiority. So the Holy Quran mentions two reasons as to explain what the origination of their transgression was. ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًّا. Injustice and self-superiority. Thank you for staying with us. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parsetoday.ir. Until the next program, take care.
Things always hurt for me, worry, and that's when faith begins.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
When we look at the term wasi, you know wasiyat, everybody knows about it. In Farsi, in Urdu, in Gujarati. And that's where you get the word wasi. Basically, wasi means somebody who will be the executor of the will of the deceased. He will handle the estate of the deceased. Now, that's more in a family context. When you talk about the wasi of a leader, it has a broader meaning there. You are talking about somebody who is going to take over the affairs of the community or the nation of the leader who was there before. And it's in that meaning that we see that after the leader has passed away, the wasi becomes the leader. He is the successor there. Now the question comes up, when was Ali appointed as the wasi of the Prophet? There are certain issues in history, we learn about it, we know some of the names, but it's important to know it in detail sometimes, because these days we get questions not only for outsiders, we even from insiders. You know, and whenever the doubts are created, you have to make sure your information and the facts of history are very clear for you. Islam started when the Prophet was 40 years old, with the first ayat which came in the cave of Hira. However, during the early days, the mission was a secret. The Prophet would not publicly talk about Islam. It was only for the first 3 years, the mission was a secret. Only selected people would be told about it. In the third year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayat, which is now in surah number 26, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنْزِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. O Muhammad, now it's time to, you know, proclaim the message publicly. But start with your own family first. From Banu Hashim. Because you do the tabligh from home first, huh? You don't want to guide all the people who are outside, where you have people in the family, in the extended family, who are misguided. And so the Prophet decided to have a da'wat, a feast. He organized, he invited actually 40 individuals from Banu Hashim to that da'wat. And the purpose was that, you know, and he asked Ali, who was this, just about early teens now, not even baligh, technically speaking. Ali said, you arrange this feast for 40 people. And the idea was that once they have been fed, then Rasulullah will stand up and give his presentation. The way we do here, iftar. Iftar is first, and then we have the lecture after that. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah. But on the first day, what happens? His own uncle, Abu Lahab, who knew about this mission, he knew, and he was one of the first enemies of Rasulullah, he stood up before even Rasulullah would say anything. And he said, you know, he has bewitched us anyway. He's, you know, just going to waste our time. So he stood up, others stood up, and the gathering was, you know, dispersed. People went away. So then the Prophet invited them again next day. And this time Rasulullah made sure that, you know, he gets the opportunity to speak. And this is where he says, oh, the sons of Abdul Muttalib. He says, I don't know anyone among the Arabs who have come to you with a news better than what I'm going to present to you. The message that I have is better for your dunya and akhirah. And this is where then he says, who among you is willing to be my supporter in this mission? So that he will become, فَأَيُّكُمْ يُوَاذِرُنِي. Who among you will help me عَلَى هَذَا الْأَمْرِ, on this issue, أَنْ يَكُونَ أَخِي وَوَصِيِّ وَخَلِيفَتِي فِيكُمْ. So that he will be given this position of becoming my brother, my wasi, my, you know, successor or executor of my will after me, wa khalifati, and my successor among you. Nobody stood up, except the youngest one, Ali. And this is where Rasulullah says, sit down. Again, he gives the opportunity. But the only response came from Ali. And that is where Rasulullah actually put his hand on the neck, on the shoulder of Ali, and he says, I would like to declare to you all, إِنَّ هَذَا أَخِي وَوَصِيِّ وَخَلِيفَتِي فِيكُمْ فَاسْمَعْ لَهُ وَعَتِيعُ. I would like you to know that this Ali, he is my brother, وَوَصِيِّ, he is my wasi, and he is my khalifa and successor among you. Therefore, فَاسْمَعْ لَهُ, listen to him, وَعَتِيعُ, and obey him. This is where we see that, you know, the Prophet was very explicit, very clear. You know, many times people say, oh, you know, wasi and khalifa, these are all symbolic words there, didn't have any implication. No, he says, فَاسْمَعْ لَهُ, listen to him, وَأَطِيعُ, and obey him. The audience understood the meaning clearly. Because Abu Lahab took this opportunity to laugh about it, and he joked to Abu Talib, and he said, oh, Abu Talib, your nephew Muhammad is now asking you to listen and obey your own son. So Abu Lahab understood the implication, and the Muslims are still debating what does it mean. And this is where we have to realize, when people say, oh, it wasn't clear, it was clear there for the people who were in the front. That you have to listen to him and you have to obey him. And when was that? This is the first formal declaration of Islam to the Ummah. I don't want to go into the references and details and the sanad of this. I would just refer you to my book. I have a book called Shiaism, Imamat and Vilayat, which was published in 1999. And it has an entire chapter on this discussion. And what are the sources, historical sources, and the sanad going to this event. Now, why do we talk about this? Because if you go and pick up any popular biography of Rasulullah, written by the Muslims, you will not really see these things there. And somebody will come and say to our young people, oh, you know, he didn't say anything. This is right in the beginning, when Ali is not even baligh yet. And Rasulullah is introducing him as Hadha Akhi wa Wasayyi wa Khalifati. What else do you want? Ghadir is much later on. You have to connect. The formal declaration of Islam is in Da'wat al-Ashira, and the final declaration of the faith is in Ghadir.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حالي حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
Hello, I'm Mubarak Kenya, and a big welcome to this week's edition of Africa Today.
Stay tuned with Africa Today.
Africa Today.
People across Africa marked the International Quds Day with massive rallies to demonstrate solidarity with the oppressed people of Palestine while condemning the Israeli apartheid regime over its atrocities and occupation of Palestine. Record numbers turned out at this year's rallies because the world has been awoken by the horrific genocidal crimes being perpetrated against Palestinians by the Israeli apartheid regime in Gaza and the occupied West Bank. South Africa's case at the International Court of Justice over the Israeli apartheid regime's genocidal war on Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip has galvanized African support for Palestine. The large turnout at this year's Quds Day rallies across Africa once again reaffirmed the continent's historical support for the liberation of Palestine. Now, elsewhere in Africa, Senegal witnessed a historical presidential election in which Bassirou Diomaye Faye won by a landslide, thus becoming Senegal's youngest president. So, what will be the future of Senegal under the new leadership? Hello, I'm Mubarak Kenya, and this is Africa Today. This week, you're focusing on International Quds Day rallies in Africa that demonstrated Africa's unflinching solidarity with oppressed Palestinians and condemnation of the Israeli apartheid regime and its crimes. Now, the second segment of our program will be on the recent presidential election in Senegal. So, stay tuned with us.
Quds Day in Africa.
The last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan marks International Quds Day, a day dedicated to showing solidarity with the Palestinian people and their struggle against Israeli occupation. This annual event was first initiated by the late Imam Khomeini, founder of the Islamic Republic in 1979, as a way to raise awareness about the plight of Palestinians and to call for the liberation of Quds.
Since then, events marking Quds Day have been held in African countries. Now this year, the masses in Africa, angered by the US-Israeli genocide on Palestinians in Gaza, turned out in large numbers at various events marking the International Quds Day. Here are some of the images.
Free, free Palestine!
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 1, 2, 3, 4!
Now to discuss this year's Quds Day rallies in Africa, we have contacted Dr. Wahida Qasim. She's the daughter of the late Imam Ahmed Qasim, the founder and leader of the Qibla movement in South Africa. Dr. Qasim is a member of the leadership committee of this movement. Thanks a lot for your time, madam, today.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brother Mubarak, shukran for having me.
Now, our first question to Dr. Qasim. Tell us the significance of the International Quds Day in Africa this year, particularly considering the ongoing U.S.-Israeli genocide on Palestinians in Gaza.
The International Quds Day, the call for solidarity with and in support of the oppressed masses the world over, especially that of the Palestinian people, has always been of significance to the justice and freedom-loving people of Africa. The Qibla movement, since its establishment in 1980, has since then, and shortly after the call by Imam Khomeini, may Allah be pleased with him, the call which was for the solidarity of the masses with the oppressed people, has been hosting the Quds Day March in Cape Town, and that is for approximately now 42 years. This year, however, it is more significant because of the heinous, calculated massacring of our Palestinian brethren and the fact that the South African government has taken this matter to the ICJ, the International Court of Justice.
African people have brutally experienced firsthand mankind's disregard for human life during the evil transatlantic slave trade and later when colonial powers ruled with an iron fist over the continent. With such a historical background, African people can relate with suffering of Palestinian people.
The liberation of all oppressed people is and will be important for the people of Africa. Africa itself being a colonized continent has been actively shedding its colonizers' hold. The colonizers are using the resources of Africa to fund the genocide in occupied Palestine. We have an example of three of our African countries, namely Niger, Mali, and Burkina Faso, who have recently liberated themselves from the French neocolonial stronghold. So the liberation of Palestine is therefore of utmost importance to Africa.
The Quds Day rallies across the world convey various messages, chief among them being hatred towards the genocidal Zionist regime, as well as support for the oppressed nation of Palestine.
If you remember very well, the Palestinians, when we were under apartheid, they said, let us liberate the South Africans. Later, when South Africans are liberated, they will come and liberate us. So what I'm saying is that there was an international pressure. There were organizations such as this which placed the pressure upon the oppressors who oppressed us at the time.
This is a man-made situation, so it's a humanitarian issue. However, it's been man-made by Israel. All they need to do is open up the borders and then people can start eating and living again.
And now my next question to Dr. Wahida Qasim. Now, what was the main message of the International Quds Day in Africa this year?
In South Africa, we have a saying. We say, neither oppressor nor oppressed be. By this we mean that the days of the oppressors have been numbered. And by the same token, the oppressed masses are craving their liberation, as I'm sure the Palestinian people are too. The oppressor, we say, will not dictate to the oppressed on how to respond to their oppression, nor will the oppressor dictate the terms of engagement.
Now, African states are emerging today as strong supporters of the Palestinian cause, and the South African case against the Israeli regime at the ICJ is a case in point.
We have seen how the current genocidal war against Palestinians has isolated the Zionist regime in Africa, and this year's Quds Day rallies have left no doubt that African masses are with the oppressed Palestinians. Many in Africa are now demanding that their governments take a more affirmative position in favor of Palestinians.
We would want all other African countries also to liberate themselves, as was done by our three African countries, namely Niger, Burkina Faso, and Mali. And the same direction is now being taken by Senegal. It is the responsibility of the citizens to apply pressure on their governments, their respective governments, who are to serve the interests of their citizens and not their puppeteers, to ensure that they will follow through on these demands.
The apartheid regime in South Africa was ousted partly due to the successful international boycott movement. Some African countries, particularly South Africa, are implementing initiatives to boycott this brutal Israeli apartheid regime, particularly during the ongoing genocide in Gaza. Now, my next question to Dr. Wahida Kasim. How successful is the current movement to boycott the Israeli regime, and what should be done to actually strengthen it?
A common slogan that is chanted by our South African people is a slogan that goes as follows: brick by brick, wall by wall, the Zionist state will fall. This means to us that by any means necessary, utilizing all forms of resistance, including the boycotting campaign, that we will continue to chip away at the Zionist state's existence. We must intensify all our efforts of resistance to ensure the liberation of the Palestinian people, but also of the oppressed people the world over.
Nelson Mandela famously said that our freedom is incomplete without the freedom of the Palestinians. The International Quds Day is always a great reminder of Mandela's resolve to back the liberation of Palestine.
And now my last question. Dr. Kasim, what needs to be done by the people of Africa to ensure that Nelson Mandela's aspiration for a free Palestine is eventually attained?
The unity of the African masses is of paramount importance, as according to Hadith, which states that the Ummah is like a body. And if one part of the body is afflicted, the rest of the body will feel or respond to that affliction. So yes, unless all the oppressed people are liberated, will we ourselves not be free? Because until then, we have the obligation and the responsibility to support and engage in the oppressed people's fight for liberation. I do want to add that the Qibla movement has always maintained the following principle: that we are non-violent to non-violent people only. When others resort to violence, they make nonsense of our non-violence. And unless our legitimate right to the freedom of expression and association and self-determination is protected by the legitimate right to self-defense and resistance, then all of our other rights are going to be violated and rendered useless and impotent. So first, we call for the unification of all the African countries and its people, so that we can secure the liberation of all the oppressed people in Africa, as well as those across the world.
Well, unfortunately, our time is over for now. I would like to thank Dr. Wahida Qasim for her insight on the International Coups Day in Africa. We now take a short break before our next topic on the recent presidential election in Senegal. Stay with us.
Victory for Senegalese democracy.
You're listening to Africa Today. Africa Today is an analytical weekly review of political, economic, and social events in Africa, the world's second largest continent. The series is broadcast every week on Saturdays and Sundays by IRIB English Radio.
Bassirou Diomaye Faye, a Pan-Africanist, has been sworn in as Senegal's youngest president, pledging systematic change, greater sovereignty, and calm after years of deadly turmoil.
Senegal's youngest president, Faye, defeated the ruling coalition's candidate in a March election by a landslide, reflecting high hopes for change in the country of around 18 million.
Addressing the Senegalese nation after his victory, Faye, a popular politician among disaffected youth, promised to govern with humility and transparency.
The Senegalese people have chosen to break with the past, to give substance to the immense hopes raised by our vision of society. I hope that our vision of society has given substance to their aspirations. I pledge to govern with humility and transparency, and to fight corruption at all levels.
Well, for more on Senegal's historic presidential election, we have contacted Galissa Bouli, Secretary General of the African Patriots of Senegal for Work, Ethics and Fraternity branch in the west coast of the U.S. This is the political party of the newly elected President Diomaye Faye and Prime Minister Ousmane Sonko. Thank you for your time, sir, today.
It's a pleasure being with you, Mubarak.
Now, Faye won more than 54% of the votes cast in Senegal's delayed presidential election. He was released from prison 10 days before the election, and therefore he did not have even ample time to campaign. Now, first question. Briefly, can you tell us what are the main factors behind this historic and significant victory of Mr. Faye?
It's because the Senegalese people, for the last 12 years, have been betrayed by Macky Sall leadership. But also, from independence to now, the Senegalese people are trying to find a leader that will lead this country in the benefit of the population of this country. So I think this victory is a victory of the people, it's a victory of freedom, but it's a victory of democracy. It's a victory of Senegalese people deciding for the first time to have a leader that will represent their interests.
Over the past few years, we have seen several protests against France in Senegal. Many young people regarded Macky Sall as a symbol of French capitalism. Ousmane Sonko, who is now the Prime Minister of Senegal, won mass support by attacking French imperialism's stranglehold on the nation. He was imprisoned by Sall and even barred from running in the presidential election. There are strong indicators that France is in the suppression and imprisonment of Faye and Sonko.
All I know is that Mr. Sonko and Mr. Diomaye Faye are two Senegalese people that know very well who is investing in Senegal, who has interest in Senegal. And Mr. Ousmane Sonko, for the last 10 years, have been fighting, building awareness about Senegal to have back the economy, to have back the resources that is in this country. So Mr. Sonko is seen as someone as a liberator. because Senegalese economy for the last 64 years have been held majorly by the French companies. So I think you can actually see in the last 4 or 5 years when there were protests, you know, French companies were targeted, you know, by the youth. It's because it was about time for French to recheck their partnership they have with Senegal. But also French never condemned, you know, the dictatorship that was built in Senegal, the repression, all the act that Macky Sall in the last 12 years was doing, and before him the other presidents. So they all had some kind of protection, you know, from France. As we speak, French has like military bases, you know, here in Senegal.
President Bassirou Diomaye Faye says he will implement a comprehensive review of oil, gas and mining contracts. He wants to enhance the state's revenue from these ventures. Now, the decision comes despite immediate former President Macky Sall warning that renegotiating existing contracts could have disastrous consequences for Senegal. Speaking after being sworn in as Senegal's fifth president, Faye spoke of change that will come under his leadership.
Je suis conscient que les résultats sortis des urnes expriment un profond désir de changement.
I am aware that the results of the ballot box express a profound desire for systematic change. Through my election, the Senegalese people have committed themselves to building a fair Senegal, a prosperous Senegal, a progressing Africa.
Now, changes or review of oil, gas and mining contracts will definitely set President Faye on a collision course with Western energy and mining multinationals. Mr. Bouly, now, how do you see this unfolding? I mean, the change of or the review of the contracts?
Mr. Mubarak, if we take a look at history, you know, from the 1970s, even before that in the 1930s, you know, when we had the bigger crisis, you know, United States of America, and later on, you know, Saudi Arabia, all the oil holding companies, you know, I mean countries, it's normal for when we change leadership to review if everything that was signed in the name of the country was done legally or also in the benefit of the people. I don't know if you took a look at this report that was done here about like 3-4 years ago by I'm not gonna do a publicity for like a major news company, but a news channel, you know, based in England, you know, that unfolded a huge scandal of $10 billion, you know, linked with the younger brother of the President Macky Sall. So we're not going to let all this go. It's actually totally normal. Those are basically part of the huge target of the actual president, the elected president, Mr. Bassirou Diomaye Jahad Faye, that's it's to review all this contract. That's not normally if also these companies, these major ventures, if they are here for the benefit of the win-win situation, they should not be scared. If everything was done in a good way, and Senegalese people, and also we have reviewed the law like 2 years ago, the resources are said to be for the people. So these resources, if they are for the people, is totally acceptable. And I think the investors should actually accepted to come and sit on the table to review every single contract that was signed in this last year, you know, regarding the Senegalese resources, gas, oil, gold, or everything.
French capitalism still super exploits Senegal and other ex-colonies, including compelling use of the CFA franc currency. He proposes introducing a new currency instead of the CFA franc that is backed by the French Treasury and used in 14 member countries. This move is expected to have regional implications.
This is not a radical move, Mr. Mubarak. This is actually a great historical and it's about time. You know, radicalism is something that, you know, people will put in a concept, you know, that people are like populists. We are not populists. We are very smart people. 2021 and 2022, normally, we were supposed to start like a currency called ECO. It didn't start because French implication with Ivory Coast and Senegal majorly, these are the two countries that influence, you know, the beginning of this currency. If you even look at the franc CFA, it's historically and socially, it doesn't connect with us. It doesn't connect with these old currencies. This currency is still called CFA. CFA is the the French of French colonies in Africa. So how can we even continue using a money that linked to colonialism?
Faye is the youngest ever president of this West African nation. Now, many young people in Africa have lost hope due to bad governance and poverty in the continent. The election of Faye has ignited hope in Senegal and indeed across Africa. President Faye says that Senegal will now be a country of hope. Let's take a listen.
Le Sénégal, sous mon magistère, sera un pays d'espérance.
Under my leadership, Senegal will be a country of hope, a country at peace, with an independent justice system and a strengthened democracy. This is my promise, based on the oath I have just taken before God and the nation in your presence.
And now our last question to Galissa. Now, what does the election of Faye mean for Africa, a continent with the youngest population in the world? Now, are we going to see more young leaders emerging in Africa in future?
Yes, I think we are. It's a great message to the continent. It's a great message to the world. As you said, Africa is the youngest continent, and we are even projecting by 2050 that Africa will be the biggest population in the world, and it will be, again, that will mean, you know, the youngest, you know, continent and the biggest population. So if that's the case today, it's to say to the rest of the continent that all the youth that are being held, that are being said that you cannot or you are not capable of leading, that has to end. Today, in Senegal, we have about 65 to 70% of the population that is young, between 18 to 25, and about 75% that are young, between 18 to 35, you know, years old. So it's a great message. It's an absolutely incredible, you know, historical time for Senegal and for the continent. And also, it's a moment to liberate all this talent, all this belief that people had, to tell them, no, you can, and go forward. Try to fight for democracy. Try to fight for your political belief, and go ahead. Don't listen to people that are saying that you guys are too young, you cannot be president, or you cannot be prime minister, or you cannot be the president of the Congress, the House, the Legislative House. So I think Senegalese people electing the youngest president in the country right now, it's a great message to the youth. It's about time for them to stop, like, taking the road of immigration, to not believing in themselves, to say that, you know, no, there's no hope for me in my country or in my continent. I need to go somewhere else to try to make a better living.
A strong message there to young people across Africa that if they believe in themselves, then they will achieve their dreams inside Africa. I would like to thank our guest there, Galissa Boly, for his incisive analysis on the recent presidential election in Senegal. Well, and that brings us to the end of this week's edition of Africa Today. From me, Mubarak Kenya, it's goodbye for now.
IB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom to discuss today's topic, Sheikh Mahdavi and Sheikh Nur Muhammad. Sheikh Mahdavi, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Sheikh Nur Muhammad, assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Alright, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the significance of the month of Shawwal al-Mukarram. This is the 10th month of the Islamic lunar calendar, in Islamic calendar, and the first day of this month was Eid al-Fitr. And in fact, this is a month that its first and its beginning starts with an Eid, and that is Eid al-Fitr. Sheikh Nur Muhammad, let's not first talk about the significance of the month of Shawwal, then we'll get to more details about this month.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know that the month of Shawwal actually is a month of reappearance of whatever you have been done and whatever you have been practiced in the holy month of Ramadan.
Yes.
And actually, to some extent, we can call it the month of reward, especially the beginning, the eve of the month of Shawwal, and the day, first day of that is Eid al-Fitr, actually is an Eid of reward, actually. And whatever you have been practiced and whatever you have been done, your worship, your fasting, your remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your preparation and getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in the beginning of the month of Shawwal, you receive your reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you experience new life. And it's actually a new beginning.
You mean it must be like you're experiencing a new life.
Exactly. Right. Okay. Inshallah, for all people, inshallah, it happened.
That's right.
And you practice new life and new spiritual life in the beginning of the month of Shawwal. And it is recommended to, for example, to be vigil in the eve of the Shawwal.
In the eve.
In the eve of Shawwal. And to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have different recommendations. Yes. For example, if you go to the Al-Muraqabat, one of the spiritual books, you can benefit the most.
Okay.
Some recommendations we have for this beautiful month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right. Sheikh Mahtavi, the holy month of Ramadan, I mean, comes from Ramadha. It means that according to Prophet Muhammad, the sins of the people are burnt away. Now, in the months of Shawwal, you know, the effects of the sins must not be seen. The consequences are removed. And in fact, in the month of Shawwal, you are pure, it's better to say. Or it is a month that you must be pure. The results of the Ramadan months must be seen. So, how to keep the spirit of Ramadan in the month of Shawwal is also important, isn't it? It is alive.
Yeah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, that is not only limited to the fruits of the month of Ramadan to be kept, to be maintained during the month of Shawwal and the other months. It's always everywhere. Yes. It's a bit difficult to achieve something, but more difficult is to maintain that achievement. Because you may struggle to find out about something, to have a kind of achievement, but to maintain that would be very difficult. As you said, okay, by the end of month of Ramadan, specifically when you paid away the Zakat al-Fitr, as we have the Rawayat narrations saying that your sins will be washed away.
Yes.
But to maintain this spirit or to maintain this position afterwards, while you are subject to committing sin in this material world in every moment through different sins that may happen for you, whether to do or not to do. So it's really difficult to maintain that purity or spiritual purity that you mentioned. So first thing first is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us against the temptation of Shaitan. Of course, we have to also keep struggling in this very difficult path to be or refrain from committing sins, as you mentioned.
That's right. Okay. Sheikh Nur Muhammad, the first day of the month of Shawwal is called Eid al-Fitr. All across the world and in the Muslim lands, the people celebrate this, we can say day, or celebrate it this way. Now that we are on air with this program, this is the fourth of Shawwal now. We can say 3-4 days have passed Eid al-Fitr. But still, we could see that the people's donations and helping the others all around the world could be seen during this through a kind of payment called Zakat al-Fitriya. So what is the message of this Eid al-Fitr in the month of Shawwal?
You know, the foremost message for the Eid of Fitr actually, is, as I said, is a new beginning for the spirituality of human being.
Okay.
It's as if you have been born again and you want to start the new spiritual life for yourself. I think is the best message for that is to try to be concerned with other oppressed people worldwide. Unfortunately, nowadays we see that the massacre in Gaza and in Palestine, you know, the Islamic Ummah has been wounded by the, you know, massacre in Gaza and the genocide actually in the Palestinian land. We should notice that point. We should try to support Palestine as much as possible and try to be giving for the oppressed people.
So this type of Eid, a celebration for all the Muslims, they are taking rest in their cozy places, you know, in their own lands, but the people of Palestine and the children are passing a difficult time. So we can help them through financially or, for example, sharing some of our times with celebrations.
Exactly. The point that I want to mention here, spirituality is not personal. Rather, it has its own societal aspect too.
Yes.
If you want to be a spiritual person, if you want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes you should give some services, some support for other, you know, brothers and sisters, for other fellow human beings. This is part of Islamic spirituality, and this is a meaning of worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
You know that unfortunately some people, they think that the spirituality and worshipping means your personal relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
This is not true.
That's right.
Your relationship,
one of the aspects of Eid al-Fitr is this collective social aspect.
And I want to say that more than that, this Islamic religion and this divine religion of Allah is more societal than the personal. An individual.
Okay.
We should be caring for other fellow human beings. We should be vigilant for what's happening worldwide.
Yes.
For the oppressed people, Palestinian people, for the black people, and for all people who have been oppressed by some of the you know, oppressors.
Yes. That's all right.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Okay, Sheikh Mahtavi, so what about you, brother? How do you think that we have passed 3-4 days from Eid al-Fitr? And you know, usually in the Muslim lands, the people, according to their national calendar, they take the days off. The organizations and the schools off, they pass life in celebration of the holy month of Ramadan. And this celebration must not be limited to joy and amusement, isn't it? There is for sure a message behind Eid al-Fitr at the first day of the month of Shawwal, isn't it? How do you think this message should be strengthened in us?
Yeah, as you said, these off days that comes following the Eid al-Fitr day, we can specifically this year, since we have this massacre in Palestine, in order to do a kind of sympathy with our fellow Muslims. I think it's not proper to only think of ourselves celebrating, being very happy. Of course, we are human beings. Yes. We are in need of happiness, things like that. But for all these off days, at least to do a kind of sympathy with them. In our community, we can have this lesson from the Eid al-Fitr, I mean the lesson from the Zakat al-Fitr that we have to pay to the poor people. So these days also, we can go and pay visit to poor people, whether in our family, I mean members, or out of our family members in the city, because in all cities, all around us, we have people living in poor localities. So paying visit to them, and having or buying good clothes for orphan people.
Yes.
I mean orphan children. Make them happy.
Yes.
In the memory of Palestinian people, of course, we cannot go there. Even we cannot send our monetary gifts and donations to them because of this actually border or these
restrictions.
The restrictions.
That's right.
But at least we can deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as my dear brother mentioned, all of the days of Ramadan, I did a kind of personal thing by fasting. That was a kind of personal worshipping acts that I was doing, remembering the hunger of the day of Qiyamah. But after the Eid al-Fitr, taking lesson from this paying the zakat, I'm going to go and pay visit to poor people. Still, I'm going to, as you said at the beginning of this discussion,
yes,
maintain that achievement, mm-hmm, remembering poor people. I was hungry during the month of Ramadan, during the daylight.
Yes.
So that time of hunger and times of being thirsty,
yes,
it was really difficult for me to tolerate. Oh. So I'm going to maintain that spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So how can I do it? Go pay visit to poor people. If possible, go with my children. Let them also understand that all children are not living the same situation that you are living, so they can be grateful to the bounties that they have on one hand, and on the other hand they will be trained how to do sympathy with orphan children, with poor people. So if I, for example, buy a good stationaries, or if I buy a good trousers, clothes, shirts, and give it to my children, and then those children, I mean my children, go and gift it to poor children, so they make them happy and they can enjoy a spiritual moments while gifting to poor children too.
That's right. Helping the poor, as you said, sharing your good time with the poor, even for example, buying clothes for the poor are very much recommended. Going and visits the orphans and the orphanage houses, you know, even the nursing homes, the aged ones, okay,
yeah,
are very much recommended during this Eid time. And as you said, it is not like we kept hungry and thirsty for 1 month and now we are going to again fill our stomach with different types of food or something like that. The experience of the holy month of Ramadan is like a powerful battery for us in order to be recharged during the all other coming months of the year, spiritually and bodily speaking. Sheikh Nur Muhammad, your final remarks regarding the significance of the first days of the month of Shawwal.
Exactly. I think we should practice sacrifice here. Mm-hmm. In the holy month of Shawwal, and of course in all other time, try to be giving and to sacrifice whatever we have for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
In the verse of Noble Quran, we have يُطْعَمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ, which means that Ahlul Bayt, the household, purified progeny of Noble Prophet Muhammad, while they have some need for this food,
yes,
but they give it away, they sacrifice it, and they give it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
We should practice as much as possible and try to be generous for, yes, other fellow human being.
That's right. Thank you, Imam Sheikh Nur Muhammad and Sheikh Mahdabi, for a nice elaboration regarding the significance of the month of Shawwal, Eid al-Fitr, and how to keep the spirit of Ramadan during all the coming days and months of the year. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
You could easily take away everything you've given me, and I try to remember not to take anything for granted.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Please don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.ir. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hussein Latifi and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program we talk about the verses and teachings of the Holy Quran related and pertaining to the status of a human being and humanity and its position in the general systematic theology of Islam. In the previous episodes, we talked about different dimensions and aspects of this being, human being, and we ended up talking about human reason. First, we divided the human being into two main aspects. One is the physical aspect, the body and the creation of the body, and the story that Quran has to tell us about the creation of the body of the human being. And then we talked about the other aspect of human being, the spiritual aspect and the soul. We talked about different dimensions of the soul. We talked about fitrah, we talked about the heart, we talked about intellect. And as we're talking about intellect, we said that it is always beneficial and sometimes even necessary to refer to the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his pure progeny in order to understand verses of the Holy Quran, and because the verses about intellect and the role this faculty has in the overall destination and perfection of human being is very important. We said that it's good we also cover some of these hadith. So we were talking about this beautiful hadith from Imam Al-Qadim alayhi salam, addressed to his close disciple Hisham, in which Imam Al-Qadim addresses Hisham, Ya Hisham, in several occasions of the hadith. And in one phrase, the hadith says that Ya Hisham, Inna lillahi ala an-nas hujjatayn. Oh Hisham, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has two hujja. And we said the translation of hujja is a bit difficult in English because there is no word that has the exact same sense. So some people translate it as proof, some people translate it as evidence. And we said hujja is something that is used in an argument. And Allah subhanahu, and it has two functions. One is that is used in an argument. The other is that it shows something. So Allah, so the Imam says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has two hujja ala nas, upon people. What does it mean to have an argument upon someone, to have a proof?